If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I am Alex.
I'm Justin.
And we are standing on the con floor in Artist Alley at New York Comic Con with the always awesome Chris Condon. Chris, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you very much. Love coming on.
Very excited to have you here. This has been a huge weekend for you.
Yeah.
I don't even know where to start, but I kind of do. I want to start at the beginning of the weekend. First panel, yes. First big panel of the con, Vertigo. You and Jacob are doing a title as the launch of Vertigo.
Yes.
Before we even get to the book at all, how does that feel?
It is a dream come true. So, first of all, the fact that it's a Vertigo book, it blows my mind.
And part of the relaunch. Like, you were the first panel about Vertigo.
And we were, I'm pretty sure we were the first asked to do a Vertigo book.
Ah, yeah.
It's
so
pretty
cool.
Incredible, yeah. to be in that position, to talk to Chris Conroy and have him ask, and first of all, reveal to me that they are going to bring Vertigo back.
Yeah.
And then ask us to create a book there.
Yeah. You're excited about just that news. And you're like, wait, me?
Yeah. So it's actually really funny how it all happened. But this is a story that I've had kicking around in my head for a very, very long time. I was drawing it and writing it myself in high school. And then in 2020, when that Texas Blood was on hiatus because they pushed back the schedule because of COVID.
Yeah.
Jake and I started doing Brutal Dark on our Patreon. We were doing it as 8-page chapters, and then Texas Blood got put back on, so we had to stop doing it. But we always thought, well, we'd like to get back to it at some point. And here we are. And it's pretty incredible to have that opportunity to be able to tell that story, especially under that Vertigo imprint.
For people that don't know, can you lay out the story? Because I really like it. It's a big story, or in many chapters, it feels like.
Yeah, it is a very big story, much bigger than the type of stories we usually tell in that Texas Blood, which are very, tight character pieces. This definitely has character to it. Our main character, Ezra Kane, is first of all, the title is Peril of the Brutal Dark. And you may be wondering, what is the Brutal Dark? And you will find out in the comic. I'm not going to reveal to you.
Good. That's a great starting point.
But the way that I would describe the book is it's Indiana Jones if Indiana Jones was also a hard-boiled detective story. Mm. It's all set in New York. It's not a globe-trotting adventure. But we get to explore history. We get to explore ancient artifacts that might have some sort of fantastical element to them.
So there brutal is, element there is even. That.
Yeah, so it's a really great story. And I kid you not, by the way, it is the best work Jacob Phillips has done in his career.
Wow.
He's doing them on these extra large boards, and they're just gorgeous. I've been lucky enough to be in a studio and to look at them, and it's almost evoking Mike Mignola, the way that he's inking it.
Yeah.
It's really, really... really interesting. I mean, if you could see the preview, I'm sure the preview pages are online.
We saw it at the panel, and it's a little different from his work on that Texas Blood, too, which is really cool, to expand in that direction.
Yeah.
The other thing, you were kind of starting to touch on this, but there's a different release schedule for this as well, which I thought was pretty interesting. Like, it feels like, so for anybody who doesn't know who's listening, 6 issues in an arc, and then it's done, but it's still an ongoing series. So you're going to be doing 6 issues.
Yeah.
It feels like mystery novels, right?
Yes, exactly. Okay. And so, the idea was that this is going to be like our Philip Marlowe, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
So we are going to tell a story, and that story is going to have its own title. So we will have Peril of the Brutal Dark, and then we'll have another title, and every single one of them will be branded an Ezra Kane mystery. And the idea of doing them in these 6-issue pieces would be, we also get to do that Texas Blood in between. And we are coming back with more of that Texas Blood, which we're very excited about.
That's great to hear.
June of next year.
I thought you were getting a little busy. Starting to get.
I am busy,
yeah.
But I'm not too busy for my boy Joe Bub.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited to get back to Ambrose County. But yeah, so the idea is we'll do six of Brutal Dark, six of that Texas Blood. So that's kind of the idea.
This is cool. A little off of your department, but one thing I was really struck by at the panel was hearing Chris Conroy, who is the editor of the Vertigo line, yeah, as well as Black Label and Absolute and everything else. But he was talking about part of the reason he brought you guys on and all of the other teams on is because you had already worked together. And so you are, in a certain sense, a reliable quantity.
Yeah.
How much of that was part of the conversation?
I mean, how this happened was that Jake and we have a strong partnership. I think that's pretty clear to our readers, to Chris, who's a big fan of that Texas Blood and the Enfield Gang Massacre. And from my perspective, you know, doing an image book with Jake, we work on back end, you know, so we're just doing it for the love of doing it. But to do it with that DC, you know, clout, the Vertigo clout coming back, being part of the first line, it's hard to describe, but I'm just really stoked that Jake and I are getting to have the opportunity to tell our stories, and not just in our, you know, small pocket universe that we're, you know, telling in that Texas Blood, but on a larger canvas, and they trust us. And that's the other thing of working with creators that have done this before, you know, whether it's Kyle Starks or and Steve Puke or Dennis Kemp and Stepan Morion. I mean, these are people that they can trust, that they know will get the work in, get the work done, and have it be good. And yeah. So I think that's probably the thing. But yeah, it's just an incredible opportunity.
Loved how Kyle big upped you right at the end of the panel.
Oh yeah,
a sweet man.
I love Kyle. He's a crazy person.
He is a crazy person, but it's nice to be on the good side of the crazies. Yeah.
And just before we move on to something else, you guys, obviously you've been doing this like in certain aspects from high school, but
yeah.
You've had a pretty long time to get ready for this. Like, you've been working on it behind the scenes for well over a year now.
It's been about 2.5 years, actually.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. That's crazy.
Jake's had the first issue done since, I want to say, February of this year.
Wow.
You know, fully drawn. It's lettered by Hassan Otsman Elhow. It's an amazing, amazing letterer. And we're also going to be bringing Hassan onto that Texas Blood as well.
Oh, cool.
Which is going to be really cool. And yeah, but the thing with having that amount of space to work on it is that you can really fine tune it. Mm-hmm. You know, whereas, I mean, we work pretty quickly, but to have that ability to look at the finished product and see if, you know, is there anything we want to add to it? How does this feel, you know? In terms of back matter, like what back matter will support this, which there will be back matter, of course.
You know, yeah, of course. Yeah, you love that back matter.
So yeah, it was a really long runway, and I'm thankful for that. It's a rare opportunity to have a runway that long. So
everyone talks about the artist being ahead, but with a long lead like that, how far ahead do you get? Are you like?
Oh, I've been finished for a long time.
No, but I mean, like, on successive like iterations of it. Are you like, this idea? It's so far. Why am I writing this down? But like, it comes to you. And
I mean, so like that Texas Blood. Like, I have all of the arcs, like written in terms of like what the stories will be. I haven't written the scripts yet, but I have figured out what the stories will be. DC Vertigo knows what those stories will be, and they're excited about them. So it's, yeah. So, I mean, it's, yeah, just, you know, planning ahead is it's important for me to kind of understand where we will go, who we will see, what kind of characters we can introduce that we wouldn't have met otherwise. So it's really nice to have that long runway, like I said.
Yeah.
I want to flip from the beginning of the con to right before now in the con. They just announced the Marvel panel that officially the Ultimate Universe is ending.
Yes, believe it.
Yeah.
well, a lot of people.
Do we believe it?
Yeah.
I believe it.
All right.
Well, I'm doing 16 issues of Ultimate Wolverine.
Yeah. Well, I feel like you're in a slightly different position in terms of believing it with that announcement, because you were extended, right?
Yeah.
Like, the title was going a little shorter. Now it's going up to 60.
So you think they're going to extend it?
No, I mean, everybody, yeah. The reaction when they announced it back at the retailer day was like, oh, right, they're,
yeah,
not going to.
Right.
We'll,
yeah,
see. But there was a quote in the press release from Dan Buckley about making sure these are good trades, yeah, that, like, they can live on the shelves forever.
Yeah.
So, obviously, whatever happens past that happens past that.
Yeah.
But in terms of Ultimate Wolverine, what has it been like being able to tell the full arc of this story?
Yeah, so I'm a big fan of a good ending. I try to do that in all my stories. Like, I'm really proud of the Enfield ending, for example.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm really proud of that one. I'm really proud of the ending of News from the Fall. Like, I pride myself on finding a strong ending. And I'm so thrilled to know that this is not just going to be a soap opera that will continue on into infinity. You know,
yes,
that this actually has an ending. Wolverine has an ending. In fact, there's really two endings, because 12 is sort of an ending. You know, it's a capper. And how I feel about it is that issues 13 through 16 are actually the coda.
Mm. Oh, cool.
So, and that's, yeah, it's, and I said on the panel, and I'll repeat here, I mean, especially issue 13, very magic focused, and we get to explore magic, because Will Moss, my editor on Ultimate Wolverine, asked me a question. I wonder why magic looks the same way she does in 616. And I started thinking about that. And so that's something that we're investigating.
That's cool. I feel like Ultimate Wolverine feels like, you feel the chapters. In so many comics, it feels like sort of one long thing. And this, yeah, feels very much like...
Yeah, I wanted it to be like a cleaver coming down,
yes,
each time. So, yeah, so each one has to be intense. It has to have its moments. And then you get out. And each one almost works as a one shot, too, which is, I thought was important to the approach.
No, I was just gonna say, speaking of cleavers, are you sad you're not gonna get to do fucked up shit to the X-Men anymore? Because every issue, I'm like, that's gross.
Yeah.
That is a gross thing that's happening to that character.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the amazing thing about doing the Ultimate line is the freedom that you're given.
Yeah.
Take a cleaver to everything.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. This, if you're doing a Wolverine book, it's got to be intense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, think about the origin of this character. He's had metal implanted into his body. You know, he's been invaded. His body has been invaded. His brain has been His brain has been turned to mush, and he's come back again. And so, yeah, it's important that this is an intense series, and I think it has to be. I don't think that it could have really existed if it wasn't intense. This is something that I feel pretty strongly about. I mean, I think it also, in certain ways, I think that that's what the character should be because of Weapon X.
Barry, yeah,
Winter Smith's Weapon X, which I think is really the defining book for the character in my mind.
Well, and honestly, it feels like there's a strong connective tissue between Ultimate and the original Weapon X series.
Yeah,
like,
that was the intent.
Yeah, that was,
yeah, that was the
beginning.
Intent. From the start.
I want to ask you, while we're talking about endings, one thing that did end a little earlier than expected is Green Arrow,
yeah,
which is a pretty big bummer. do you feel like that came to a conclusion that at least you feel satisfied with?
I am so satisfied with the conclusion.
Okay.
Issue 31 is... I actually didn't intend for it to go the way that it went. Sometimes this happens,
yeah,
when you're working on a script. And sometimes you submit your solicit text and you go, oh, shit. This isn't going the way I want it to go. But it went the way that it needed to go.
Yeah.
And it is I think it is the perfect ending for what we did. And honestly, yeah, it's a bummer that we didn't get to do more. It would have been really cool. You know, I had some plans for things that we could have done beyond this. And I also just really enjoyed getting to tell stories that I felt were important stories. I mean, as you know, I mean, Freshwater Kills, the first story arc, was based on Love Canal,
mm-hmm, yeah,
which is a real environmental disaster in upstate New York.
When I loved that, especially because it felt like a reflection of the Ollie stuff that we don't hear about as much, his, like,
yeah,
activism in politics.
Yeah.
I feel like it's gestured to a lot, but it felt like a real deep dive, but it was dark. yeah. necessarily, I think.
Yeah, I think a lot of... I don't want to speak for other writers, but I feel like if some people may be leery to wade into those political waters.
Yeah.
But I felt like it was important for the character. That's the character to me. So I had to tell that story. And same thing with Crimson Sands, our current arc. You know, it's a part of the character. I mean, this is we're in conversation with one of the greatest stories of all time, Snowbirds Don't Fly. It's been there since then.
Yeah, you know? Core. It's core.
Like yeah, exactly. So it's I think it's important to talk about these dark things because, you know, we live in a world that, like, I wish we could, you know, it was a bubblegum world where everybody was just, you know, happy-go-lucky. But unfortunately, there are a lot of dark things in our
yeah.
in our world. And I'm you know, one of the recent issues was able to have Green Arrow save somebody with naloxone.
Yeah.
Which is... you know, it was important for me to show that, you know, to show people that this is a thing that, you know, that we see in our real world.
Yeah.
And that you can save somebody, you know, and so, and it's not, you don't have to be a superhero, you don't have to have superpowers. You could be a normal human being and just, you know, have an impact.
I want to ask you something that might be a little too inside baseball, but I thought it was very interesting when Green Arrow was canceled and Birds of Prey were canceled.
Yeah.
Both you and Kelly Thompson went online very quickly in very different ways, but, like, I thought very classy ways, talking about what happened behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So what happened behind the scenes that kind of led to those messages?
I did not talk to her about
sure.
it. There was no
collusion.
About, no. I really love what we're doing on Green Arrow. And I feel very strongly that it's some of my best work. And it was also, I mean, just like all cards out there. I mean, this was my first superhero ongoing that I was doing. It's a character that is very important to me. That Denny O'Neill, Neil Adams run was a formative book for me. And so this character means a lot to me. And so when I talk to the fans about it, you know, I've known that it was canceled for a minute, and I would go to cons and talk to fans, and they would ask me, "How long is your run going to be?" Like, I'm so glad it's continuing, and I'd have to just grin and,
yeah. Oh man,
you know. And so I wanted to be able to tell the people yeah. that were enjoying the book and were, you know, feeling an impact from it. Felt that it was important to them. I mean, and that's a conversation I have with a lot of people, is that it hits them in the right place that it should. And so, it was important for me to just get out there and just say something about it. Because I don't want to speak for DC, but it felt to me that they, you know, they weren't going to announce that it was going to be canceled.
Yeah.
They just would not solicit 32. So, and I felt like that would be a real shock. So I wanted to
right.
say something and say my piece. And I am very excited for what's coming down the road, especially Gabriel Hardman doing his Black Label series with Green Arrow and Batman in question. And also what Pornsec Pichichot is doing, Absolute Green Arrow. I'm just so stoked to see what somebody else is going to do with the character.
That yeah. said, do you think it was rude that they canceled a Black Canary book and a Green Arrow book in the same month?
They have something to talk about.
Yeah.
I don't really want to wade into those waters.
No, I know.
The thing is, I do think that people love those books, so I
yeah.
think that it's it was a real bummer to a lot of people
for
that,
sure.
that these
yeah.
two books got canceled simultaneously.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's things ahead, so I'm excited for those.
You were saying before we turn on the mics that news from the Fallout has been really selling here.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. how do you feel about that? A book that is like very intense and also artistically very different than other comics.
Yeah, I think it's the most unique book on the shelves right
yeah.
now, and I think I'm so proud of Jeffrey Allen Love and the work that he's doing. And I've said this time and again, and I will repeat it ad nauseum, he deserves a place in direct market comics, and I think this is proof. At both of our tables, we have been selling out of the book. The book has been selling well consistently with retailers, and the things that we hear from people, sure, the artwork might not work for everybody, and that's fine. The writing might not work for everybody, that's fine, but it has been having an impact on people. People are seeing something that they've never seen before in comics.
Yeah.
And I think that's exciting. I mean, that's it's like picking up New Mutants by Bill Sienkiewicz.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
seeing something that is just totally unique in comics and going, wow, I didn't know it could be this. And I think there's nothing more exciting than that. And that's the beauty of comics.
Yeah.
That book is great, too. I feel like I'm forgetting a million things. So real quick, anything else you want to plug?
Just how great you guys are.
Aw, Chris, stop it.
We never get plugged, so thanks. That's so nice.
Chris, congratulations on everything. Can't wait to read your conclusion on Ultimate Wolverine and everything else. Good luck at the rest of the con.
Thank you very
much.
We've
been huge fans from the beginning, so shouts to you, man. It's great to see you.
I appreciate it, guys.
You bet.
We're the pest nerds at Greenix, and we know bugs. Bundle pest and rodent control now and save $150. Visit greenixpc.com. Pests hate us. Customers love us.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.